1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, and particularly, we'll give you some insights about verse 24. But I want you to notice that this last section, that would be verse 23 through 28. Please first notice these words. In verse 23, notice the word sanctify, and notice the word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And then notice the word spirit, soul, body, and notice preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the word, verse 24, faithful. Notice in 25, pray. Notice in 26, greet. Notice verse 27, charge. And verse 28, grace. Now watch closely. Follow with me. Paul's farewell. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. My wife came across this little clip. Listen to this. Today is unique. It has never occurred before. And it will never be repeated. At midnight, it will end. Quietly. Suddenly. Totally forever. But the hours between now and then are opportunities with eternal possibilities. Let me just make two or three comments before we really get into the text. I believe, as I have been living this long, saved since I was 20, that there are a couple of things that are giants with which you and I must deal every day. One of them is the giant called pride. And the other is the giant called self. Yourself always loves to agree with your pride. Your pride is a dynamic for you to display yourself. Goliath was a giant of a man. David faced him. David was the victor. Standing on the side watching all of this was not just the Israeli army. Saul, the king, but there was another young man there by the name of Jonathan. He watched the whole thing. He watched David's action and attitude. And both were important. And when David faced that giant, and God saw to it that the stone went to the one spot on the giant's vulnerable body. The one place, right here. It didn't kill him, but it struck him and knocked him to the ground. Now here is a giant clad in armor with a huge sword. The armor bearer with a shield. So David does what David must do. He took the sword of the giant, cut the head off of the giant. So he slew the opponent of the Israeli people. And Jonathan rejoiced, and his heart was drawn to David. Do you understand that the difference between that giant and the giant that you face in your life self is that the giant that you face is resurrected for the next day? You deal with it today. You cut the head off of it today. But it will be just as alive tomorrow. We have such a tendency, every one of us, we have such a tendency to display ourselves. Do you understand that our reason for living, number one, our reason for living, the number one reason is not to serve. No. The number one reason is not to learn to how to sing so you can sing. The number one reason is not to become a leader in the church. The number one reason that God gave you life and has seen to it now that you, in having trusted the Savior, are here tonight, the number one reason is that you exalt Almighty God. That's it. That's the reason. That is the reason. Not your ability, not the expression of it, but the exaltation of Almighty God. Now, it's mighty easy to overlook that when you get to serving. When people say to you they appreciate what you do, well, praise the Lord, good. But you know, A.W. Tozer used to say, when people would commend him for the message and they would say something nice, he would thank them graciously. And when they walked away, he would say to himself, and you don't know anything about me. You see, whatever I do, if I do it on my own, it doesn't count in the light of eternity. Now, wait a minute. The Word of God, that never returns void. So, if I speak the Word, even though I'm not right, if I speak the Word, God honors that Word. But me, I must daily deal with this matter of pride and self. And so, tonight when we look at this text, notice the word in verse 24. Faithful is he who calleth you also will do it. Who also will do it. Do you realize what that means? That means that from God's position and intention to give life to the lady who bore you, to bless the union so that there was conception, and God gave the conception. And now you're in this position today. And you have two things particularly to think about. Number one, Your life is not about you. It is not about you. It is about another person, one person, and his name is Jesus. That's what your life is all about. Now, let me ask you a question. Did the Savior ever shoot his mouth off? No. He never did. Was he meek and lowly? Yes, he was. In fact, on one occasion, he robed himself in the garment of a slave. And with these disciples, the songwriter wrote, "Bow the knee." He bowed the knee. Both knees. And he washed the disciples' feet. The Son of God, the God-man, creator of the universe, came from heaven's glory to earth's midnight to give his life at the cross and pay the penalty by choice and be resurrected that third day. This God, this Son of God, this Jesus Christ, robed himself as a slave who never shot his mouth off. And we are told to be like Jesus. This my song. Be like Jesus in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. That's quite well expressed. So here it is about this one, this Son of God, this Savior, this Redeemer, this soon coming King, this attorney at the right hand of God for you and for me, this intercessor, this one who prays for us. And with all of this having been said, I must deal with my own spirit on a daily basis. There's not a one of us in the room tonight. Now, I understand, you understand, God does not make trash. You know that, I know that. And at birth, God has an intention for every single birth. But this matter of pride begins to express itself even when a child is a baby. We're told nowadays that we ought to be patient with the crying baby. That's true sometimes. There's sometimes that a baby has colic. It requires a necessary kind of love and patience. But there are other times when this matter of rebellion begins to appear. Rebellion is the twin sister of pride. Do you hear me? You take a humble person and you don't have a proud person. You take a humble person and you don't have a rebel. So when I get up in the morning, I have something to deal with within my own spirit. And it's that my spirit must agree with his spirit who has come to live in me. My spirit must agree with, not his spirit must agree with my, no, oh no, no. My spirit must agree with his spirit, the Holy Spirit, in order that I might step from the bedroom, step from the bed where I've been sleeping, step into the bathroom and wash my face and so forth. And when I get dressed and go to the table and be sure that I fix my addiction, call coffee, and then sit down at the table and open my blessed, 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 inerrant book called the Bible and read in a schedule that I do every single morning, there is not one step I take, there is not one thought I think, but what I must face the issue of being sure that I'm not proud. And you're the same way. People who lose their temper quickly are proud. Oh, yeah. So I must be in submission. Huh? Now we're talking about me, so you can say amen. Amen. Any time that myself becomes the focus, I then have not dealt with pride. Any time that I want to be first in the food line, I've not dealt with pride. Don't push that aside. That's an element of life that you and I, every single time, must deal with. In honor, preferring one another. Excuse me. And so my whole being involves this matter of my spirit agreeing with his spirit when it comes to myself and when it comes to my pride. That's it. And then comes my service. Not my service first. No, my dealing with this so that my spirit agrees with his spirit first. Then, if I sing, and let's suppose that the voice is not what it ought be. It doesn't matter. Now don't miss this. It doesn't matter. Because with a heart of humility and a heart of surrender and my spirit in agreement with his spirit, whatever comes out of this is the result of this. And even if the voice is not good, the Spirit of God bears the message to the hearts of the listeners and blesses it abundantly. Did you get that? Bless your heart. I love you. You better get that. That's the fact. That's the truth. That's not my opinion. And so I want to serve him. I do. My wife and I, we've talked. My greatest fear is that I'll pull some stupid stunt and forfeit the rest of the ministry that God has in mind for me. That's my greatest fear right there. And except for God, I am a dirty rascal. Are you listening? I don't want to be incorrigible. I don't want to be unteachable. I've slightly touched the hem of the garment when it comes to needing to know what I need to know. And I don't want to mess up the process of the Spirit of God teaching me and guiding me into all truth. No! I want to be absolutely sure that there's no barrier between myself and God. No! I want the passion of my soul to be so centered on dealing with this matter that Almighty God then says, all right, son, all right, yes, you've dealt with it. All right, son, now you're ready to step into the day and you're ready to step and talk to the people and you're ready to give the gospel and you're ready to keep from laying any kind of trash on their doorstep because you're selfish. Amen! So, my life is, number one, about exalting Him. Wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. You're standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Right there. And He has come to live in me and you. So I faithful is He that calleth you who will also do it. And when God says that, God expresses His will and states the promise. But that does not relieve me of the responsibility to surrender. That's your responsibility, not His. Unless you get caught up on hyper-Calvinism, don't you be blaming God when you do something wrong. No, blame your own dirty, rotten flesh and your tendency to listen to the whispers of a devil. So, I want to sing for His glory. I want to walk for His glory. With a saved heart, with a surrendered heart, with a serving heart, go for Crabtree. But next, your life is about others. It is. I mean, you're responsible to make your Lord look good. Do you realize that Lazarus did that without saying a word? Huh? Do you understand that? Oh, yeah. In fact, this road map, the Word of God, this road map that we have, this is God-given. And you know that. And it's God-preserved, and you know that. And in it, right there for your eyes to behold, my eyes to behold, in it, the Lord tells me all I need to know about Himself and about myself and about the way in which He wants me to walk. It's all right there. All the way from the first page of Genesis to the last page of the Revelation. It is. So I have no excuse. Did you hear me? I have no excuse. And so, whether it's theology or whether it's philosophy. First of all, must be my spirit in agreement with His Spirit, who guides me into all truth. And I, with ears to hear, I hear. And I meditate carefully. And I think it through every day. And in the morning when I read, it stays with me. Is so that when I drive down the road and somebody cuts me off and they are wrong, and literally speaking, not just I think they're wrong, but when I think they're wrong and know they're wrong, I don't do something that makes God look bad. Now, don't justify that. No. That's as important as anything else that you have to deal with. Don't justify that. No way. I must deal with every slight infraction within my being that the Spirit of God puts His finger on. Oh, yes. And so, my life, my talent, my gifts, given to me for the purpose of honoring God and helping others. Yeah. That's why, as a Christian, if a Christian is stingy, he's not right with God. Woo! That's the action. And that's why when, if I have a burden on my heart, and the church needs a refrigerator, then I don't go buy a new refrigerator for my house and then call the pastor and ask him if the church needs a refrigerator that's used. Huh? Challenge me. Go ahead, challenge me. And guess what? If you do, you're going to be in error. Life is about receiving and giving. It's not about receiving and keeping. No, it's not. And whenever the Spirit of God, and by the way, He speaks to us about these things a whole lot more than we'd like to admit. And He speaks to me about something, I better do it. Did you know that it's so very serious to disobey the Spirit of God when He points out something to you and would have you do something? Do you know that that's as serious as anything can be? Do you know why? Because you deliver yourself from His power. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You check your Bible through the epistles and find out the emphasis of the Spirit of God in the believer and what God expects you to do in response to what the Spirit pointed out. Go ahead, check it. Check the epistles. And so, to exalt Him, to help others, because you see, a life of conviction and surrender is based on the truth, the Word of God. A life of encouragement. A life of joy and peace, fellowship. A life of purity. A life of thankfulness. A life of holiness. a godly life within a servant's heart. And I ought live with the purpose of giving and thanking. And when I give and thank because I have received and thanked, then God takes it in a wonderful manner and He bundles it up in such a way that whatever I do and wherever I go and in whatever I say and I offer it in that kind of a spirit, God blesses it abundantly. And you mark it down, if an assembly in a church has that disposition, they'll have great joy and great fellowship. Yes! So I face a dilemma every day in that I must deal with this. If you don't, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to investigate your faults. No. I have enough to do without doing that. And so I want to bow. I want to live in such a way. See, because here's the point. My life is a series of lessons taught, learned, to be lived for the benefit of others. With each of the lessons, there is a test. Oh, yeah, with every lesson that I learn, there is a test. And God wants me to pass the test. He wants me to graduate from these things as they come my way on a daily basis. And so whatever's offered to me, whatever test comes my way, give you an illustration. Whew! My dog is sick. Really sick. Just this week. He is my wife's and my 8-year-old buddy. She refers to him as her therapy dog. When she had the replacement of her knee and was laid up on the couch for all of those days, he sleeps downstairs in an open kennel. And he came up every night and checked on her. Every single night. He did. How did he know? How would I know that? But he did. And when she was well, he didn't do it anymore. He's my bud. But he very possibly has cancer. Talked to the doc today, the vet. He said, well, he said, my suspicion is cancer. Now he said, look, there are two things we can do. Number one, number two. The second one is chemotherapy, which we will not do. Said the first one includes the usage of some steroids. And we'll see if that helps him. He said, if it makes him better, it'll give you a little time. Now, we're waiting for a pathologist's report, so we don't know for sure yet. But he said, I said, okay, and I wanted to know. I said, what about this matter of chemo? He said, well, in most cases, it'll give him 2 years. But he was an honest doctor. You know what he said? He said, it destroys all the good tissue as well as the bad. And I looked at him, my grandson, and I looked at him and I said, I don't want him to suffer. He said, I understand. So we've started in. We're going to try the steroids. Now, you know about steroids. You know that when you get on them, you don't get off unless you want to feel real bad. That's the way it works. But maybe it will give us some months. But whenever he dies, it's going to break my heart. It will. And I said to my wife today, I said, you know, if we get another pup, he'll outlive us. She said, yeah, you're right. I mean, you stop and think. This dog's 8 years old. That's about normal for a pit. They don't live much longer than that. Once in a while you get one, but most of the time. I mean, my other pit died at 6. So we get a pup, and he's going to outlive us. Good night. I said, well, let's suppose he lives 8 years. Do you realize how old I'd be in 8 years? God, I'd be 98 years old. And if you think that I'm going to spend my life taking care of a dog at 90, you ain't right. I can't do it. I'll depend on her. The fact is, it's going to break my heart. And I know that I'm going to get a test. And this is simple. This is not like a human being. I know that. But my heart, her heart was just, we can hardly stand it about Betty Obrecht. Folks, she has been an absolute jewel. And can't now. So I'm going to get a test about all of these lessons that I learned. So is she. And she's already been through a number of tremendous tests. And by the way, could I tell you something? Close your ears. She's passed every one of them. That's a fact. You say, boy, are you telling the truth? I'm going to have to answer to God for what I'm saying to you. So I'd better be telling the truth. Yes. Yes. So we're in it together. But we know that for whatever we learn, it's a test case. God wants us to graduate. And the difficult thing is this, if you don't do what you ought to do, and you don't pass the test, you gotta take it again. See, that's the ugly thing about this. See, so you can't sidestep it and get away. No, see. And so, last in mentioning, I want you to listen to something that, once again, my wife came across and she gave it to me last night. And just listen to this. Don't just get older. Get better. Live realistically. Give generously. Adapt willingly. Trust fearlessly. Rejoice daily. Exalt Him. Be a blessing to others. Faithful is He who calleth you, who will also do it. Huh? Brother Chris, will you bring a microphone to Brother Matt? Brother Matt, will you close us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for what You've brought to us through Your word today, Lord. Thank You for Pastor Chuck and his heart. Pray that You would help us to not take this lightly, Lord, that our flesh is a monster that we have to deal with daily, Lord, and that we would deal with it humbly and not get prideful for how good we're doing, Lord. We would be humble, realizing that You give us the strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.